Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Warning, this podcast may be part two of adjusting your planner for your future selves and moving into higher education and work and all that great stuff that you're going to need written down so that everyone in those areas can be like, let's have a look at your disability document.
Are you happy with that opening?
That's what it is, isn't it?
You sort of freestyled it there. It's like you didn't know what you were going to say.
Maybe I'm taking one of those classes, one of those yes and classes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Yeah, what's it called? Those people, where they... Oh, fucking hell. Improv. It got there. That.
Okay. 3 out of 5.
Welcome to Seesaw Podcast.
With your hosts, T, Cleves, and Selena.
Every week, bringing some much-needed balance and humour to brighten up what can sometimes be a dark, disabled world.
Welcome back to Seesaw Podcast, the show that is not just managing its accessibility plans and adjustment plans, but managing your expectations on what a good podcast is. 3 out of 5. Mm-hmm. We're back with part two of the adjustment planner chat. Hope you enjoyed the first part. Please, what we got coming up in this second part?
Oh, just way more stuff. I'll tell you what we got coming up in this part. Disability students' allowance. Can you scam them for more than they're offering you?
Yes.
Well, listen and find out. We don't know.
Okay. Right. I mean, listen and find out. Ooh. It's a mystery.
We got some Site Village stuff coming up as well. So if you're around for Site Village Birmingham, then
8th and 9th of July at the Excel Centre.
What? It's not the Excel Centre.
It's not the Excel Centre. That's where an expo was.
Okay, no. 8th
and 9th of July at the thingy rooms.
East Side.
East Side Rooms.
Is the best.
Yeah. East Side Rooms, Birmingham. Come see us. We'll be covering the event on the Monday, on the 8th. We won't be there on the Tuesday this year. We're going to get it all done in one day. We'll be there in the evening as well because it's the 30th anniversary of Site Village. There's going to be some live acts from visually impaired and blind artists.
Artists, entertainers, performers, yeah, whatever you want to call them.
And we'll have some interviews with them before Site Village. There's also going to be a funky disco. Discotheque, yes. It's going to be amazing.
Really?
I don't know. I had to do my Dutch there.
Yeah.
Funky disco, please. So, come along. You can see Cleves dance. look at him dance.
I'm not a dancer.
No.
I hope it's a quiet disco.
A quiet disco? Why?
A bunch of blind people in a disco, and you're going to see as it is, and then you're like... Hearing out as well.
Brilliant. That's also what T said when I said it was going to be a discotheque.
Yeah.
Also, why I started calling it a discotheque.
So come on to Site Village. You'll be able to see exactly what's going on with this.
Well, you won't.
Well, you won't. But you'll be able to experience what it is. You can come and meet us. We'll probably be having a couple of beers. And yeah, there's a pub nearby. So the disco's not for you, literally 5 minutes walks to a pub. Not saying to go there by default. I'm just saying it's an option. And this year at Site Village, we're not just going to be doing interviews, we're going to try out some stuff and various things like that. So we're going to get a bit more stuck in, ask some of those hard questions, play with some magnifiers, yeah, twist a few knobs, flick a few screens.
Get to my Seesaw hoodie again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine's already in the wash pile. Gonna smell fresh.
So, we hope you enjoy the second part of this episode. It's gold.
Yeah, I mean, some people live at home and don't then go to uni, like commute to uni, don't they? Not everyone goes and stays away in halls and stuff. So they might need a taxi in and out. No? Is that right?
No, because if you live at home and then your university is close to where you live, in theory, well, you know, you just learn the route, don't you?
Yeah. I think it's important to learn that route.
Especially if it's your local area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're not willing to do that, you know, or it's not something you can do, then I would say probably, you know, open university. Just do that.
I would say, when I went to university, speak to your local council, because I had someone come out to my halls and they basically said, what are you struggling with? And I was like, this, 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 and this. And they came out and we walked around. So they showed me how to use the washing machines and things like that in the halls of residence, because I couldn't see like the coin slot and stuff properly. So they made sure I was adequately versed in that. We did some of the routes, so to university and to town and things of that nature. Some of the local shops just pointed out where certain things were. So that can be quite useful. I found that extremely useful when I started uni, actually.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Also charities as well. Like the speaking for the visually impaired and blind community side of things, because that's what we know. RNIB do some stuff. Guide dogs, especially for mobility. You don't need to be contacting them for a dog. They will do cane skills with you and will teach you routes. So you can get in contact with guide dogs if you want to learn some routes, if your local council isn't prepared. And let's face it, a lot of councils, that's not their priority at the moment. Not going bankrupt is a lot of their priorities.
Well, Nottingham failed.
A lot of councils failed. But guide dogs, they will help out. They're quite good at it. And
guide dogs, the organisation, it's not the actual guide dogs.
No, not the actual guide dogs. But the organisation will help out and they'll do route training and stuff like that with you. Like, they're more than happy to do that. They have a dedicated team to do that.
Cool. All right, moving on, just because we've got a fair bit to get through. Accessing educational work premises. T's touched on this earlier, but things like accessible parking, accessible toilets, a ramp or lift, and many more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ramps, you might be able to get around that. Again, try and choose a place based on that. If you are going for an open day, you'll know roughly what you're studying. Don't just be one of the kids in the group with the parents who just potter around showing everything. Go to where you'll be studying. Because it doesn't, just because the university has a great central like administration building doesn't mean that the chemistry labs are going to be accessible. So if you're doing chemistry, go to them. They will not show you absolutely everything on these tours. You need to go there specifically. And if you get in contact with Disabled Student Services at any university, you can arrange to meet someone and do a bespoke tour with them. If they're not willing to do that, students' unions, but they will also oblige if the university doesn't have that facility in place. The union will do that for you. And they'll meet you there. They'll take you to where you'll be studying, and you can figure out whether that's going to be accessible for you. If it's not, maybe think about going to another one of your choices that is more accessible for you. Might not be the best. Yeah, as far as like prestige of degrees, but there's only like a dozen degrees that really matters about the prestige of university nowadays.
Business studies.
Absolutely not. Medicine, veterinary science, engineering degrees, a few others. That does matter where you go, because it's a really competitive market. And the first thing employers look at is where you studied. And they'll just bunny hop people to the top based on the university.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything else does not fucking matter. It really doesn't.
Salt Moon, anything to add?
Nope, he covered it.
One thing that was actually on here, which I thought was a good point, referring to the work side of things. This is genuinely on the government website as well, that I thought was a good point. First time. If you're at work and you're working somewhere like a call center and you hot desk, they'll give you a designated desk so you don't have to wander around looking for a desk every time. That was the bane of my existence as a visually impaired person when I've worked in several call centres.
That is actually really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Moving on. Communication support in education and or work. So they've got on here additional processing time. For example, in an interview or a timed task, such as exams, BSL, a note taker, or information in different formats, such as, you know, large text, audio. It says Braille here, but I'm not sure why you'd want that. yeah, that sort of thing, anyway.
Yeah.
Tips.
If that's what you need, write it down in your planner. It's more about identifying what you need as a person.
Absolutely. I mean, we've done an episode on interviews and stuff like that in the past. Refer to that when it comes to other aspects of interviews. A lot of charities, especially if they are like equal opportunities, like employers, not charities. A lot of employers, you can find out if they're equal opportunities. And if they do have that accreditation, they have to give you the concessions when it comes to like interviews, if you need more time, things in advance. That sort of stuff. So check their website. If they have that, you can ask for it and you can't be knocked down for that. They can't mark you down because that's what that accreditation is for. If they don't have it, it's a bit of a crapshoot. I'm sorry to say, it is a bit of a crapshoot because they might think, oh, if they're going to take longer than an interview, they might take longer and we have like targets and shit.
You'll still find discrimination at the end of the day when it comes to that stuff.
You are. But if they do have that equal opportunities accreditation from the government, they can't knock you down for needing extra stuff. So that is something to take the weight off your mind.
At least not openly.
Yeah. At least not openly, but we're not going to go into that. We're not going to go into that. Having an interview and failing is better than not going for an interview at all.
It's all practice at the end of the day.
Yep.
And what I would say is, this document, as we're finding out, has quite a lot of sections. If you're going to an interview, just pick and choose the bits that you need to give them.
Yeah.
Like, you just say, I need this and this. You know, here's my document. It's 45 pages.
Yeah. And dare I say, a lot of companies will not even be aware of what this document is.
Most. I wasn't till about 3 weeks ago.
Exactly. And I've never heard of this.
It's more for you as a person that you can turn around and say, here it is. If you want to know anything about me, it's all written down right here. Slap it on your HR manager.
I'd be intimidated by that if I was recruiting and I was sent that without prior knowledge. Here's my adjustments planner of something I've never heard about. And it has a comprehensive list, although useful, would put the shits in me.
No, but at least it'll answer those questions that like the employer might have and then ask, like you've answered it, like how the hell can you do this? And it's all there.
It's possibly better if you've got it, like, let's say you've got the job and then here's the adjustments planner. And the same as when you get into university, it's like, here's my adjustments planner.
Yep.
When you go in to like look around universities or when you're going to an interview for a job, you know, you pick the bullet points.
Yeah. Don't send this off of your CV for fuck's sake.
No.
Do that. Give it to them afterwards.
All right. So the next section is specialist IT programs. Some of them listed here are Jaws, Zoom Text, Text Help, Read and Write, and Dragon. I don't know what at least three of those are.
Yeah, I know Dragon, Jaws, Zoom Text.
Oh,
I don't know
what the middle ones
are. Dragon is where you talk and it writes what you say.
That's good. It's a good little program, that.
Yeah, also if a phone does it for free.
Yeah, Dragon programs. Oh, they're coming.
Yeah. So, yeah, really important. I think if you can... okay, I'm going to be a bit of a... actually, it's not a dick thing to say. But if you're going to university, even if you don't think you need one of these pieces of software, get it.
Yup.
They cost anything up to and including £1,000. Some of them cost more. It's astronomically expensive, some of this software. You can get it through Disabled Students Allowance, as well as a really good laptop, as well as other equipment. Disabled Students Allowance will get you what you need. And this is stuff that will help you going into your next employment because you can say, I already have the software.
It harkens back to what T was mentioning originally. Just when they give you the assessment for DSA, Just do it on your worst day. Make sure you get everything you could possibly need.
Yeah.
Better have and not need and need and not have.
Yeah. I've still got a scanner. Not opened.
Why?
In my wardrobe.
Well, you've got to milk it. Get absolutely everything.
Got it, but didn't need it.
If you don't need it, yeah, just flog it.
Yeah, that's what I say. Just get it. Yeah.
And eBay
the shit out of that.
Yeah. But for the software, definitely get it. Even if you're not a user of, say, Jaws, you might need it down the line. Get it now where it will cost you nothing. Because once you've been in employment for 6 weeks, it's no longer subsidized by the government as far as access to work. Depending on your organization, they might have to fill that entire cost. And if it's not in the budget, they can weasel out of it. It's not a legal requirement for them to get it for you. And if the bill is going to be £1,000, £1,500, they might just tell you to jog on.
It depends how big your organization is to how much they have to contribute to access to work.
Yeah, but big organizations still can have budget problems. That's the risk. I'm in a big organization and I don't think I could get Jaws. I've got a half working laptop at the moment and there's no budget for a new laptop.
Apparently, Jaws is really cheap in America. It's like just here that it's stupid money.
Yeah, but yeah, more expensive here. Just get disabled students' allowance to pay for it. Just do that. It's the best way to do it.
On that subject as well, also on here is specialist equipment. So, you know, computer hardware, such as mice, keyboards, if you have mobility issues for your hands and legs, that sort of thing, desks, stand-up desks, specialist furniture, height-adjustable desks.
If you know Braille as well, get yourself a Braille transcriber or anything to do with Braille, even if you're not thinking that you might use it. Because the one thing I regret not doing is that when I was at uni, because I know Braille.
Yeah, but didn't you learn how to use a computer?
Yeah, but then...
I'd argue lessons in that is probably better.
You leave it a couple of years and you can sell a fucking transcriber, like a £3,000 transcriber.
The money-making scheme, okay, yeah.
Like, you absolutely could and go on a five-star holiday to Turkey.
Wow. I mean, I would be good.
Yeah.
2 days all-inclusive.
I'm just saying.
In the vegan corner.
Honestly,
mine wasn't that much more than that.
But I'm just saying, that's one thing I regretted. I didn't put Braille down there, and I could have done and gotten a load of Braille stuff. I wouldn't have used it, but the government's fucking paying for it. They don't ask questions. They'll just get it for you, providing you have comprehension and skills in it. If you don't know Braille, don't ask for Braille shit. They'll just say no.
It says a Braille reader on here, actually.
Yeah, and they are expensive. They are so expensive. And when it comes to computers and stuff like that, tell them you need a very powerful computer or laptop because of the software you're getting, because it can be quite intensive on the system. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they'll slap you with a £200 Chromebook from Currys or something like that, and it just will not do the job. Go big or go home. Because again, like, you get quite a lot of allowance. You'll struggle to make up all of it in most cases, even if you are doing it based on your worst day. So get what you can out of it. The money is there. If you don't use it, you can't go back to it. It's very hard to get equipment down the line in your second year of a study, third year of study. It's a lot harder to get it then. Get it in the first year.
It even says on here, noise-canceling headphones. So get yourself a sweet pair of like wireless Bose.
Yeah. Like £300 headphones.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Do that. Because they literally will not go for the cheapest. Like, they go for quality. And you can get some really good stuff. Like, do it. Absolutely. It's one I have had thoughts about going and do a part-time postgrad and then getting a load more shit because I could do that around my current job. And, yeah, I can do some more technology. And I can renew my DSA because it's been that long and just get a shitload of equipment, like 10 grand of equipment, as well as my postgrad, of course. But, yeah.
I'm actually sitting on a £1,000 computer chair funded by Access to Work right now.
What?
Yeah. And I don't know why it's £1,000. But it's got, like, this little cool pump on it. Like, you pump it and it push, like, gives you back support.
Most office chairs have that.
I bet Santi likes
I hadn't had it before.
Okay.
It's like kind of like lumbar support. That's it.
Lumbar. Okay.
And you can like lean back on it. You know, like when you swing back on
it. You mean like
chair,
every chair?
No, but like it moves it. Back. But it actually, like the wheels stay on the floor. And...
Okay.
Yeah. I got a chair. Comfy.
I got a chair. Nice.
Yeah.
Else, if you know, if you've got any of your current equipment that needs upgrades, make sure you get those. The port. Right. So, any additional sort of sensory sensitivities is here. So, it just has like adjustable lighting and quiet spaces.
A lot of employers are doing better at that. Universities are doing better at that as well. Again, this is something you bring up after you have the job. But a lot of places are becoming a lot better at this, about well-being and welfare of employees. It is a really, really important thing. One thing I've noticed that isn't on here is hybrid working.
Okay.
Because some people's conditions and needs will mean that they potentially would be fatigued or not able to attend that place of work as much as like another person.
But that being the job description you're applying for, surely.
Surely, but some places do say flexible working. And if you were to have, say, a hybrid working section on this form, you could use that as a means of trying to get that flexibility.
I think you're legally allowed to ask now for that. There was some new law put in the other month that you're legally allowed to ask to work from home from time to time.
Yes, and they can't flat out refuse. They have to meet you halfway. The new law says that they have to negotiate with you. They can't just say no.
Yeah.
So they could just say one day, and that's them negotiating. And then if you say that's not good enough, as soon as you say that, then that's you closing the negotiation, and they can decline after that. So just be aware of that. Like, their counteroffer, it's not really a counteroffer. Not really. If you don't like it, that's the end of the conversation, usually. But they can't just say no anymore. They can't just say no.
No. Right. Support while you're at work or at university, higher education, wherever you are. Do you need someone physically to help you out? So just to help you learn or complete parts of the job for you? Develop coping strategies? Nope.
No.
Time's the charm. I can't even say charm. Develop coping strategies, instructions and processes, or additional time to do things. So, yeah, you might need someone physically to do that, and access to work can help with that sort of stuff. With regards to an educational standpoint, do you know a bit about that too?
Yes. You can have a... I can't remember the term for it. It varies from institution.
Amanuensis.
It's you can have someone with you.
PA.
Basically, it is a PA. But they can help you with anything from navigating campus to taking notes for you, for getting you there and back, that sort of thing. So you can get that under Disabled Students Allowance as well. That's absolutely fine if you feel that that's something you would need. Bear in mind that it's something that you will have to... It's difficult to get the timings worked out, to be honest, because if you ask for like a full-time, then you might not need them full-time, and then they're just like hanging around you all the time, and that can really detract from the social aspect. But then if it's not enough, it's quite hard to get more. So you need to get the calendar, essentially, see if you can get the academic calendar in advance, so you know roughly how much you're going to be on campus relative to like what buildings and near other buildings. Again, Disabled Student Services are great for that. They can have a conversation with you or the Students' Union, so you can get an idea of how many hours you need, add a couple of extra, and there you go. Just because you can get the full hours... You don't, if you don't need them, because then you've got someone with you all the time. And I've spoken to students.
They don't have to be with you all the time, though. They could be gone, going away and making your course material accessible or
no that I
can be doing other things.
They can be
notes, then email. They don't have to be stuck to you 24/7.
No. How do you approach that? Do you go, "Oh, I'm done with you now. Off you fuck. I need you in about 2 hours."
Yeah.
Go get yourself a coffee. Have lunch.
The issue with this is the hours have to be justified as well. If
they're
off doing
this. They're doing something for my education. They don't have to be with me the whole time.
But adapting materials is not something that they can do either. That's something that the university has to do that. It's actually mandated within the Education Act that they have to make all educational materials accessible to any needs. So if you have someone doing that for them, then they're in breach of the Education Act 2010. Which is huge issue. It is, because a lot of them aren't very good at doing it and there are gaps in the system. But essentially having your PA do that for them, they won't allow it because it basically just shows that they are not sufficient under the Education Act.
But what if the university contributes or pays for your assistant?
They won't. It'll be a government-funded thing.
Okay, fair.
The university won't pay for jack shit, mate. They're about making money. The universities are businesses.
Everything's a business.
It's a business. They're there to make money, bleed you dry, and give you a bit of paper at the end that might help you get a job. That's what universities are.
Wow. Bleak.
It's absolutely true. I've worked in the sector long enough. That is exactly what they're there to do.
Okay. Someone's not having a great time at work. Lastly, I've got on here, lastly, supporting organizations. So, any organization that you're currently getting support from, and these might be charities or just general organizations that might provide help for your learning or work throughout your normal life.
Yep, loads of charities out there, too many to name, to be honest. But there are loads. And I've mentioned before, students' unions, they are charities. When you're studying, if you don't know where to go, go to Students' Union. They are completely independent from the university. You can go with them, you know, and it's completely confidential. You can discuss things with them if you're not happy with how something's going, if you just need support, if you need some ideas on signposting, where else you can go. They are completely independent. Also, if the university isn't doing what they need to be doing, go to the union. They exist for that exact reason. They're there to keep universities accountable for academic excellence and consistency and benchmarking. Go to the Students' Union if you're a student. They might not all be the best, but they do try hard. They have a lot of passionate people working for them, but they will try their best. Unless you go to Sheffield, which is the best in the country, which, yeah.
Wow, someone's blowing smoke.
Yeah, yeah. Been in their shadow a long time. A lot of people have.
Okay. Well, that's all I have for the adjustment planner based on what the government is saying. So write it all down. And then that way you've got it all in a document. And all you have to do is literally adjust your adjustment planner every now and again if your needs change. And then if you want to go into work or get into university or just generally, it might be somewhere else that you just think, then you know what? It'd really help if they knew about me and my needs, and you don't have to sit there and explain it to people. If that, you know, if you're not comfortable doing that, it's like, here it is, all written down in a document, peruse it at your own leisure. The only thing I will say is maybe don't be super militant on how you go about enforcing that. Don't be like, oh, I gave you the document and you haven't done anything.
It's like, don't do that.
You've got to cut people some slack as well.
Contrary to what you might believe, their world doesn't revolve around you. They have other shit to do.
Wait, what?
Like, if everything isn't being done in a timely fashion, you just have to remember you're not the priority of these people. It helps them to help you. But like you said, don't be militant because they have other shit going on as well.
Cool. Right.
Okay, I think that's...
I've been justified.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone good?
I think that was very concise and was more about university, but this is the time of year where it kind of matters.
We're timely. This is why we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever said we weren't?
You. You said we weren't.
Yeah, several times.
You said we're whack.
Anyway. No, you didn't. You didn't, did you?
No. You sounded genuinely unsure. Cool.
So, until next week, where we probably will be live again on Twitch.
Yeah, because that's what we do.
Yep. Have a great day.
Week. See ya. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Seesaw Podcast. Your feedback and comments mean a lot to us, so if you'd like to get in touch, you can do so in the following ways.
You can find us on X at Seesaw Pod, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Seesaw Podcast. You can email us at seesawpodcast@gmail.com. And you can stream with us live every week on Twitch at Seesaw Podcast.
Remember to like, rate, review, and share with a friend.
This podcast was recorded in front of a blind audience.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy. But being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.